Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to episode 178 of the Niall or Nine podcast. It's myself, Niall, and Andrea Cleary here. How are you doing, Andrea?
I'm good, Niall. How are you doing? I'm warm again.
I'm good. Yeah, you're feeling the warmth. You're feeling the love.
Warm again, naturally. But yeah, I'm good. It's a nice sunny day.
Sure, look, it's summer. We're still on summertime. I'm still on summertime. I don't know if you are, but yeah, we did a nice old episode last week about festivals and stuff we've gone to. And since then, I sat in an armchair and watched a lot of festival coverage. My fourth festival in 4 weeks, which this time it was on the TV, which is, of course, Glastonbury. And I have to say, well, I had a great weekend as well. I was still out a few times, but I still managed to fit a lot of Glastonbury watching this month. So it was great. It was such a novelty to have it back again, to be able to see all of it and just be able to, like, the iPlayer is great, being able to tune in to five different stages all at once. I didn't take it for granted anyway. I'm going to tell you that.
So yeah, I didn't have great. The luxury of the iPlayer, but I was able to switch between BBC's 1, 2, and 4. And even that level of coverage was pretty brilliant, to be honest. Like, the coverage was excellent, as you'd expect from the BBC. Yeah. But give us the iPlayer, BBC. I sent them an email a few years ago, and I was like, here, people are willing to pay for the iPlayer if you just give it to us. Like, can we have the iPlayer, please? And they noted my suggestion. So, you know, any day now. But yeah, the coverage was absolutely fantastic. It was really, really great. The Saturday night was I was really, really, really excited for Paul. And he was fantastic. He was absolutely brilliant. We put on the coverage, say, at about like four or five every day, and just kind of watched it for the evening then. And it was great just being able to, like, just watch the whole festival from the comfort of your couch, get up and make a cup of tea whenever you want to. Yeah. Especially having been to a festival this month as well. It was like, I think I probably would have been a bit more jealous of the people who were physically there had I not camped kind of very, very recently and remembered exactly what it's like to do that. But yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. I really, really liked this year's Glastonbury, and I haven't even gotten through like all the sets that I want to watch online.
They're still putting them up.
They're not putting up kind of full sets yet.
Well, the iPlayer does have a lot of full sets if you get an LVPN going. No. It is great for that. I watched quite a few of them. It's worth having a look at. I have to say, I was not impressed with Maka on Saturday.
Are you serious?
His voice was awful.
He's 80 years old.
He was weak. Yeah, I know, but he can actually sing better than that. I think his voice was gone a bit, to be honest.
I
I think he needed a few back.
I disagree. I thought he was. I thought he was absolutely outstanding.
Well, I mean, your love is blind.
My love is not blind for Paul McCartney. My love is not blind for musicians. It's
your Instagram page is basically just a Paul McCartney tribute. Your Instagram stories page.
I have a Paul stories, but I thought he was outstanding. Like he was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He played for what 2.5 hours or something, full of no.
Quantity is not quality necessarily, but okay.
And be wrong, but I thought he was absolutely outstanding. 80 years of age, like
great for him. I felt it was a bit, I don't know, I was really excited about it, and then I put it on, I was like, this is not really what I wanted.
What did you want?
I don't know.
Did you want the Beatles?
I mean, no, I didn't want the Beatles necessarily. No, I wanted... I don't know, I just felt the first hour and a half was a bit of a drag or something. It was just, it seemed to drag for me a bit. A lot of different choices that I wouldn't have expected. I thought it would be a bit more of a greatest hits or something.
It was a greatest hits. He just played a lot.
I know when you look technically over all of it, it looks... Just didn't really work for me. I didn't really enjoy it. And that's what it comes back to.
Fair enough.
Till the end, and it really like got going. I just felt like he needed some backing singer or something as well. Like really something to lift it. And by contrast, then like you're looking at the likes of Kendrick on Sunday. And Jesus Christ, I couldn't.
Well,
believe
Kendrick was a completely different. Like the three headliners actually were very very different. Like Billie Eilish, very stripped back, basically just her and Phineas on the stage. I thought she did an excellent job. I thought the sound was good for her, considering how she sings. Like she sings quite. Quietly and then loudly, you know, there's a lot of kind of different dynamics in her voice that you kind of have to deal with if you're dealing with that kind of sound, especially on that size of a stage. There were a few moments during her set where I thought she could have done with a bit more on the stage, but only once or twice really, and then the rest was fantastic. Paul I thought was excellent. Was one of the best Glasgow performances I've seen, certainly of a man of his age and a man of his kind of back catalogue. And then Kendrick was obviously completely and utterly outstanding, just mesmerizing. Like I was texting, you know, in the WhatsApp group the previous two nights, and then everything leading up to Kendrick, we were all like, okay, what channel are we switching over to now? And like, it was like, we were all kind of watching together. But then once Kendrick came on, I had to put the phone down and really like pay attention to it, because there was so much going on with the dancers and the visuals and with him as well. I couldn't take my eyes off him. Like his performance, even just like how he looked, like in his face, how he looked, you know, he looked really kind of solemn and serious sometimes. And there was one moment where it looked like he was like maybe going to crack a smile. And I was like, oh my God, is he going to smile? You know, it was just, I was so captivated by how much he gave to that performance. I thought he was outstanding.
I wonder now if it's going to be a once off, or is it a preview of what's to come when he arrives in Dublin?
Yeah,
is this the kind of debut of the show? Interesting, because the way it was set up, it was like a greatest hits as opposed to this is the Mr. Morale you know, tour. Although it seems to be, I would imagine we were going to get those dancers again. I was interested in their garb as well, their like what they were dressed as exactly, and I couldn't quite figure out. Looking forward to it. I haven't seen anything yet, but
yeah, I loved how he was dressed as well. I thought the crown of thorns was brilliant. Like, did not expect the blood in the last song, and it was just absolutely fantastic and managed brilliantly. Like I can imagine that it was a lot of hard work went into, you know, managing that stage production. Just nobody put a foot out of place. He didn't put a note out of place. Like, everything was very, very meticulous. And some people like that and some people don't. Like, some people don't like performances to be that kind of regimented, but on his...
He had a fair few, like, you know, gaps as well at the same time in between those kind of chapters that he was doing, you know, and it was interesting the way he did it with breaking up by album and all that kind of stuff. And I think it was... Yeah, I mean, it was broke up by album, but then also interspersed with, you know, some songs from the new album as well. And
I thought the songs from the new album sounded great.
That was wise to do that. I think so. Not just play the album back front to back. That's what I thought was going to happen when he started. And but look, I mean, I had the whole weekend last weekend. I was just watching. I was watching so many sets. There was a we started with the likes of Confidence Man on Friday afternoon, and I'll get into them in a bit, but stuff like Jessie Ware, who I saw at Primavera, and I was just like seeing her up close on the TV, it was like, ah, this the nuance that I missed, like in the flesh. I saw here the likes of Little Sims, who I still regret not seeing last December in the Academy in Dublin here, 2 days after World of Voice, I think it was. And then seeing stuff that I had seen recently, like Bicep and Megan Thee Stallion again.
I watched Bicep and I was like, this is not, this is just sitting on a couch and watching this is not the vibe. I switched it off about halfway through. I was like, no.
Yeah, I thought it looked really good.
It did, but after a while I got a bit, I was just like, yeah, this is.
I enjoyed Fortet's whole set, actually. That was great. Just listening to it from the iPlayer as well. That was great. I really enjoyed that. And was the likes of just like dropping into stuff like Big Thief and seeing obviously they're an amazing band and just getting to watch that, Self-Esteem as well, of course. It really felt like a moment. There was a lot of tears on the Saturday or Sunday when I was watching it. There was a lot of Saturday and Sunday. Self-Esteem shed a few tears. There was Sam Fender, Joy Crooks, they were all got a bit emotional. And why not? Because, you know, these are acts who have not got a chance to play the Glastonbury yet before and finally getting to do it after, you know, nearly 3 full years, essentially. I was also really impressed with the likes of Olivia Rodrigo, who, you know,
great.
Obviously a lot of people on stage were talking about what was happening in America with the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. And I thought for a 19-year-old, like basically Disney adjacent star, what she said was very clear and honest, and you shouldn't hold back. I was like, and she said, I'm terrified that so many women and so many girls are going to die because of this. I wanted to dedicate this song to the 5 members of the Supreme Court who have shown us at the end of the day that they truly don't give a shit about freedom. I was just really impressed. And then she brought out Lily Allen and did Fuck You. So I thought that was a nice cathartic moment as well. There's just so much there to watch as well.
I enjoyed Noel Gallagher still going. And his high F&Bs. I thought they were great. Like, I've never ever listened to any of their music, like any of Noel Gallagher's newer music, and I thought it all sounded great. The band were fantastic. And then he did a kind of a Oasis greatest hits thing at the end then as well, which was fantastic. He's such a good performer. He's as good now as he ever was, you know. And he's getting on a bit as well. So yeah, I really enjoyed him. He was on before Paul on Saturday. Harry and I had a bet going that he'd come out during Paul's set, but he obviously didn't get the invite in the way that Bruce and Dave Grohl did.
Not quite that level, no.
I think it would have meant so much to him. But then he was interviewed after, Noel was interviewed after the gig, and he was like, yeah, I'm going off to get a sandwich and try and catch up with all my friends who are all already drunk. So I have to go and like sink a load of pints now. And I was like, never change, Noel. And then my friend Carlo pointed out in the WhatsApp group while we were watching Paul when Dave Grohl came out that he reckoned that was his first like public appearance or certainly performance since Taylor died. And you know, I just wonder like what him and Paul talked about, because obviously Paul has lost he lost one band member very suddenly and has lost another bandmate as well in the past. And yeah, I just wonder if they spoke about it or anything. And yeah, he did. He looked like Dave Grohl looked as though it meant a lot to him. And what a lovely way to kind of, you know, come back to performance, you know, with a hero at Glastonbury. I thought that was really sweet. And I'll never get over people yelling Bruce and how much it sounds like boo. Like I'll never get used to that. Like I've never seen Bruce Springsteen live. I would really like to. But it just really feel like, because he walked out and I was like, are they booing him? And Harry was like, no, they're saying Bruce. And I was okay, yeah. I just always forget that that's a thing. If I was him, I'd be like, please stop doing that. Maybe some people are booing. I was saying boo urns, but
they were not.
Yeah, I thought Bruce was great. He was fantastic. God, he's looking better with every year that goes by. He's really on a bell curve.
How does he do it?
You know. And then Dave Grohl coming out in his ABBA hoodie at the end was really the icing on the cake of that set for me. No.
I wonder will I be able to buy that hoodie on Sunday because I'm going to.
You are? You're going to? Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we need to do. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Do we have next week's episode sorted then? Are we just going to talk about ABBA again? Yeah. Are you excited for it?
I'm going to. Absolutely, yeah. Of course. Mm. Yeah. I pal of mine went last week and he was not a big fan at all of ABBA at all. He was like kind of dreading it a bit because partner was going was the main driver of this gig and he sent me a text as soon as he left and he was just like, Niall, that was some of the most incredible things I've ever seen.
Oh, that's great.
Well, I'm not gonna spoil it for you. I can't wait for you to see it.
Like, brilliant. Oh, great. Yeah, I mean I've heard nothing but good
that's
things.
What I wanted to hear.
I still think nobody understands exactly what's going on there with the holograms and stuff, but you know, you don't need to.
It's not holograms. My understanding is it's high definition screens, but what I want to hopefully Sunday will answer what I should answer because I'll be there, is that how do screens then look like they're also present in 3D? I don't understand that part.
My question is, are ABBA going to be in the building? Are they there?
No.
Okay, so they're not there at all.
No, they're only there the first night. No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Definitely not. They're just there. They were there the opening night and that was it. And I mean, this thing is running until January or February next year or something like that. So, and then it's probably going to move cities. So it's a custom built venue.
Would you say it's still possible to get tickets like for later in the year or is it like extremely sold out?
No, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Like there's like matinee shows. It's like, it's going on.
I'd love a matinee show.
10 shows a week.
That would be great. Go to that, then head out to dinner, then go to Phantom of the Opera. Have a day in London.
There you
That'd
go.
Be lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna look into it.
That's the plan. That's my Sunday, and then on Friday, going to see LCD Sound System in Brixton Academy.
Very good.
As well, just you know, kind of a post-pandemic treat for myself.
Lovely.
Basically, it was like, oh, I'd like to see them again. That'd be nice. And they're only playing in London, so I'll go and see them.
Didn't they perform at some like NFT conference or something?
It was some festival, Ape Fest or something
Ape
like that,
Fest,
and it's just full of tech bros. It's just like the tweet I saw was a video of some guy who's some Bitcoin bro who's Ape bro who's at thing, and he just felt vibing to LCD Sound System and just put up a video of the band playing and no one paying attention. This is exactly what it's like to DJ for like tech people and Web Summit and live gigs that for the
have
web
you
Summit
have you done those
like
sorts
that.
Of like oh, corporate of event things
I
before
have,
yeah
actually in fairness no I it's been fine for me but I think for like a live for a DJ for a live act sometimes just people just don't care just don't care and they're there to network and that's fine and we're just like no one wants to see. I'm sure James Murphy and all got well paid for that gig, but Jesus.
But like, what if they were paid in NFTs? Because you can't.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't know if you can like be seen to be paying people not in crypto if you're organizing a crypto conference. Like they were probably paid in Bitcoin.
No way.
I'd say he's
the cheek.
I think he owns an ape. I'm calling it now. I think he owns one.
Okay. If I see him, I'll ask him.
Yeah, do. Yeah, or isn't that what all this blockchain stuff is supposed to do? We should be able to see who's owned it at all times. It's all...
It's not like a unique... It's not like a public user ID. Oh, look, there's a cat behind you. It's not. I don't think it's like attributable just directly to somebody. Maybe it is. Maybe you can find if somebody's name is...
Who knows?
There.
I mean,
I don't know, and I don't
the
care.
Bottom is apparently out of the whole shindig anyway, so hopefully we'll get to stop hearing about it soon enough. Anyway, what we do want to hear about is the music that we enjoyed in June 2022.
Yeah, so it's summer, and I think when it comes around to this time of year, obviously, you know, being away in some of this month, there was a lot of time where I wasn't really doing a lot of... I do a lot of new music listening. I don't want to understate that, because like every week, every day when I'm sitting here or I'm working, I'm doing something. But there was a lot of time this month where, as we discussed last week, being at Primavera and the likes of that, where you just aren't checked into new music and it's kind of necessary. But also as well with the Glastonbury footage as well, I found myself going back to, you know, other stuff that was on, all the acts were on, listening to some of their music as well. Not necessarily new music. So I did put a lot of those tracks in the Patreon Weekly, actually, this week, the Spotify playlist that I put up every week, and for Patreon. So that is patreon.com/Niler9 if you want access to that. There's one every week, and the Discord as well, as you've heard from the Discord crew last week. So yeah, it's kind of mad. Like, this, it's summertime. All the outdoor gigs have started again. Obviously, Glastonbury brings a lot of acts to the UK, and therefore they filter out around Ireland and Dublin and all sorts, like Cork and Musgrave Park, and up in Belfast for Belsonic, and then Fairview Park in Dublin, St Anne's Park, Trinity. I went to see Michael Kiwanuka on Monday night with Gabriels, which was very good, in the Trinity Summer Series. So, and then Marley Park with Green Day, and Longitude's on this weekend. So basically, everything, it's summer. It's still summer. It's a big summer vibes going on at the moment. And that does actually mean that, like, new music is starting to slow down a little bit, but it's still quite a lot. So what we're going to do is basically just, you know, here's the best of what we heard. My caveat is basically I did spend a lot of time listening to stuff I already liked this month for the first time in a while. That's been the first time since January I probably did that. So, but I'm going to start with, your choice, because I know that you've picked loads of bicep-y bangers, right? No, you haven't.
Big Beat Manifesto.
No, you picked an old favorite.
Yeah, I mean, Julia Jacklin, like, obviously, I don't know, like, it's a great song. Let's listen to it. This is Julia Jacklin's latest track, I Was Neon. It sounds like this.
That's Julia Jacklin. I didn't pick Julia Jacklin because I knew you would. So I left that one free for you.
My other list, and I was like, oh, Niall's probably picked this. I'll just go in and make sure. And then I saw you hadn't picked it. I was like, if he didn't pick it because of me. Because it, like, I mean, it's the case with Julia Jacklin, definitely. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're not hearing, you know, a mad, you know, divergence in sound here or anything. And I never want that. I want her to always be making music that kind of makes me feel the way that this makes me feel, which is just kind of cozy and warm and, like, just that lovely little garagey sound with her beautiful, beautiful vocals. This is an old song that she wrote for a previous project, called Rattlesnake, that she used to play drums for back in 2019, and she came back to the song and rewrote it and recorded it for the her upcoming album Pre-Pleasure, which comes out on August 26th this year. And we've already heard Lydia Wears a Cross from that album as well, which I think I might have chosen for one of our best of the month before. Or it's certainly, we've certainly mentioned it on the podcast before anyway. Really, really excited for this. I mean, we were talking before we were recording about how things are a bit, you know, it's a bit scarce in terms of albums right now. But I think, you know, towards the end of the summer, we're really going to start to get a lot of great albums. And I was kind of thinking, I had Julia Jacklin in mind when I was saying that, you know, at end of August, really, really nice time. Andrea is starting to, like, really hyper fixate on autumn mode by, you know, by the end of August. It's the perfect time for me. It's the perfect time for her to release an album. So Yeah, really.
She's
excited.
Heralding your favorite.
She
season.
Is. She's an absolute devil for it. Like she knows exactly what I want. And she gives it to me. She's great. Is she playing here this year?
She is. Yeah, November 3rd in Victoria.
Oh,
Street.
That's it. Yeah. It's the day after my birthday as well. I mean, why is she so obsessed with me? Like, Julia, just call me. Like, but yes, I think I think I might have a ticket. Someone might have got me a ticket for that already. I'm just remembering now. But yeah, she's fantastic. She's amazing. I love this song. I love the video. She directed the video herself. She said she rewrote it for her album during a time when she was desperately longing for a version of myself that I feared was gone forever. I was thinking of this song when I made the album cover. This song is the album cover, really. So yeah, it's and I think as well she wrote it not on guitar. She said, for the first time I stepped away from the guitar and wrote a lot of the album on the Roland keyboard in my apartment in Montreal with its inbuilt band tracks. I blue tack reams of butcher paper to the walls, covered in lyrics and ideas, praying to the music gods that my brain would arrange everything in time. So she's just, you know, gone a bit crazy. And I like that. Keep going, Julia.
Lovely.
Yeah, great song.
I don't think we heard anything. The band is actually called Rattlesnack.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
I don't think we heard. Sorry. I mean, I thought I had to check if it was a typo there for me on this side.
It's a typo on the NME as well. Yeah, it's known as Rattlesnack.
Rattlesnack. Yeah. I just checked it. So they never released anything. So another project she started that we never heard from. So that's good. That's good. There might be more on that in the future. Ooh. I'm going to stick with a guitarist and a songwriter. This is a artist called Madison Cunningham, and the song is called Hospital.
Screen or microscope. I'll be the first to laugh it off, to not be the butt of your joke. Let me make a mistake, it'll pay for its own cost. 'Cause regret is like an infant that won't let you sleep at all. Checking into a hospital where the nurses are thin sky.
So that's Madison Cunningham. She is an LA singer-songwriter, and I went to see her recently in the Grand Social. My pal Cole brought me along. He wanted to start this thing of like going to more. Well, I mean, for himself, going to more gigs. I mean, I go to loads of gigs, but I think we're still getting back into that phase as well. And this was a nice one because I knew nothing about her, and I went along with him as the plus one, and just really enjoyed it. I thought she was kind of. She did this kind of early days of St. Vincent thing, which just being a really cool, like angular, interesting, expressive guitarist. She played the entire set on her own. And I was super impressed. It was kind of slightly countrified, some of it. This was more, Hospital is the name of this song. This is more of like, it's definitely more rocky. You can sense her voice there. It has a bit of a country influence. So she has a second album coming out called Revealer on September 9th. And I think she's been picked up by a major label here as well. And so I'm interested to see what happens with her. She's Madison Cunningham. Definitely is apparently coming back before the end of the year to Ireland. So look out for her for that. That is Madison Cunningham. And the song is called Hospital.
Yeah, I really like that song when I listened to it on the playlist earlier. And it reminded me actually just now listening to it that I also really enjoyed Casey Musgraves at Glastonbury. She was outstanding. Sure. She's great.
There's so much music coming out of our
ears.
There
is. Are we to me now or to we are we to you? To me? It's to you in the playlist.
To you. to you, to me.
So, right, an album
from
me.
You got an album.
Album from me. Jessie Buckley and Bernard Butler. For All Our Days That Tear the Heart is the name of the album. And the song we're going to play is Footnotes on the Map. And it sounds like this. Rest. Spends its whole life on its wings. Beats the wind instead. And the wind said fly. And the sea said live. And the sun said. Listen to that. The rain knows all of these songs that our hearts have mapped. And your tongue is a river.
Your tongue is a river.
Heading out to the shore.
Heading out to the shore.
Interrupted by a heartbeat.
By a heartbeat.
Yes, Jessie Buckley and Bernard Butler. Tell me a bit more about how this came about.
Yeah, I mean, she's just a fucking stupidly talented person, isn't she? Like, she's just outrageous.
I'll just do it all.
Yeah,
thanks.
I'll just be amazing at literally everything I do. I'm obsessed with her. Yeah, so they were apparently introduced via her manager, who thought that they would get along. And then through a shared love of... bands like Talk, they just kind of came together and started writing music together. It's a weird one, like, because I feel like we haven't heard from Bernard Butler in as forward facing a way as this. I mean, he's produced a lot in recent years, but, like, you know, it just seemed like a strange duo to me, because I mean, I hadn't really heard her sing before either. And this came out to...
Didn't she sing? I haven't seen the film. She does sing in that film, though. Isn't she Wild Rose?
I haven't seen it.
I don't remember
I can imagine
that,
she's sung, in films or on stage before. But, I mean, she really does, like, it's not... like, you forget that she's who she is when you're listening to the album. Like, it's a very kind of characterful album, written from kind of different perspectives. I think that song is a good idea of, like, it's a good taster of what the album sounds like. It's quite serious, and really quite beautiful as well. And I just think it's brilliant. Like, the pair of them just seem to have really hit on what it is that the vision is, and executed it very, very well. It sort of, for me, it came out of nowhere. I didn't know that it was being released until the day it was released, and that might have been me just not paying attention to things. But I was like, Jessie Buckley hardly, and Bernard Butler hardly. You know, it must be two other people who have like the same names as these two people. But I'd really, really recommend putting it on. I mean, you and I have talked before about those albums that you know those albums for those days, and it's a slow day. It's maybe a Sunday afternoon or whatever it is. You're cooking something that takes a few hours to cook. You're making a chili, and you want something in the background to just kind of get lost with, or to go on a walk with or whatever. And it's really captivating. Her voice is wonderful. And they work beautifully together. I think it's a really, really, really strong record, and it's gotten very, very good notices across the board. Four stars from The Guardian or from The Observer, and I think 4 stars in the Irish Times, and it's gotten very good, good reviews. And I've no idea if they have any plans to continue to make music together, if this is a one-off thing, or if she has any more plans to kind of, you know, pursue music. She's a very, very busy woman. But it's wonderful. I'd highly recommend listening to it. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. I saw they were on Jewels as well.
Oh, I missed that. I must have a look at that.
Sure. Flat out being...
Just being brilliant.
Creative and busy all the time for a play. She's in that film, Men.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. There was some chat about that in the Discord film group. It seems to be kind of dividing people. Some people like it, some people really hated it. So
I saw her in that film, The Lost Daughter, the Olivia Colman. That was an interesting one as well, very nuanced.
Yeah.
As well. But anyway, that's Jesse Buckley and Bernard Butler. So that's your first album. My first album for this month is an album that didn't come out in June. It came out on April 1st. But look, it's arriving as holiday season begins with a song called Holiday. This is Confidence Man. So that's Holiday, a song that just has grown on me over the last few months. And I was like, oh, remember Confidence Man? That was that band that had the Boyfriend Repeat song maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I know Claire Beck used to play them a lot on TXFM. Mm. I kind of wasn't really paying attention to them since then. And then that song and a couple of others I started hearing, I was like, hold on, this band have an album coming out on April 1st, and I ended up watching their launch party on YouTube, because it was broadcast from Australia, I believe, or maybe it wasn't, maybe it was just an afternoon thing, because they're an Australian band, they're a four-piece, and one of the members was formerly in a band called the Jungle Giants, and two of the members, one of those people, and the members wear these kind of black overall kind of like hat things, and so they're kind of anonymous. But then the singers you hear there are they call themselves Janet Planet and Sugar Lips, and it's all very silly and fun and boppy electro pop stuff, and to be honest, it's kind of what I needed.
I'm very surprised that you haven't been like on this band from the beginning. I just would have assumed that this was like your
thing.
Well,
I'll tell you why. Yeah, because I think the first album they had, Confident Music for Confident People, I think it was called, is a bit gimmicky.
Okay. That was 2018.
There was a lot of 2018. Yeah, it was a bit gimmicky. It had a lot of songs like Repeat, which was like a fun bop. But then they had a couple of other songs on the album like that, and they're very much like, here's a spoken word song. We're being funny, and it was like, oh, this is fine, but it does great over time. Mm. Don't You Know in a Band was another one. It's fine. Like, it was fine. It was okay. But I was like, grand, whatever. And then I think they kept coming up on my YouTube algorithm after I watched that video. And so I kept seeing the live performances, especially of that song Holiday. Mm. And they were on Jewels as well. And I was just like, they're really fun. And they don't give a crap. And they're just like throwing themselves around the place. And it reminds me of, well, the album came out. And I was like, the first six songs are great. And it dips then a bit after that, but like the first six songs are brilliant, and you're like, okay, and they've started singing more, and as opposed to just spoken word stuff. So I went to see them in Vicar Street last
week, 11:30 p.m. start.
11:30 p.m. and I was just like, this is good crack. And then last Friday, watched them from Glastonbury live on the iPlayer, and I was like, ah, oh, they're such
they are.
Fun.
They're great.
So I've just been spinning them a lot. They kind of remind me of a modern 2022 version of like a D-Light. Mm. That's what it kind of reminds me of. That kind of vibe. It's like, it's not serious. It's fun. We need more like boppy electropop kind of bands, live bands, and they're full of it. And they have their dance moves are they've got a great arsenal of dance moves. They just never stop moving. I just really like them. They're upbeat bops with hooks galore, and it's a lot of fun. And when you need some summery, I mean, holiday, it's a song, it's called Holiday, and I was like, I'm going on holidays. This is my vibe for June. It's summer. I'm doing this. And so it's in my head all the time this month. So that's why Confidence Man Tilt is the album I've been listening to a lot. Yeah, certainly first six songs are brilliant on it. A few dodgy ones in there, but like mostly it's just a lot of fun. And yeah, I love it. It's Confidence Man Tilt. I definitely go see them again. And you should too, because they're good crack. So there you go. That's Confidence Man.
My next choice is 150 seconds of dry cleaning. It is the song Don't Press Me, and it's from an upcoming record. We'll talk a little bit about how I feel about the record after taking a listen to this. This is Don't Press Me.
Stealing cheap, why not? Wet, cold, hard, flat. It's my big boy candle. All I could afford was a gaming mouse. So don't touch my gaming mouse, you rat.
So Don't Press Me from Dry Cleaning. Tell me what you think about this one. I'm interested.
I like it. John Parrish produced first record or first song from the upcoming record Stumpwork, which is due to be released on October 21st this year. Feels soon, definitely, since the last one, but that's probably due to me playing the last record a lot. You know what I mean? I really like this song. It's short, it's sweet. I love the whistle in the chorus. I like that she was singing a bit more in the chorus. I mean, she's dangerously close to singing on this song.
Dangerously close. They might actually sing.
She might actually sing, because I do think she has a very nice singing voice. And I'd love to hear her sing a bit more in this record. I'd like to hear a bit more by way of melodies, even if it is just in the choruses. I really like this song. My only issue with the upcoming record is the cover art. I don't know.
I knew you were going to bring this
know.
Up. I knew
why
you
did they do that? Like, why? I'm not.
You can only look at
it. I'm
once.
Now not going to buy that album. Like, that's literally what's going to happen. Like, or I'm going to have to put it in a different sleeve. It's the most disgusting thing.
Maybe it's the thing to get
it's
used to.
It's just so horrible. Because, I mean, like, the artwork for their first record was kind of bad in a kind of a brutalist kind of way. Like, I got it. I understood. Like, I think it's the more I looked at it after I bought it, I was like, yeah, I quite like this artwork. But this is just. I mean, go Google it if you haven't seen it. Dry cleaning stump work.
Will we describe it in full?
I'll literally feel sick if I do it. Yeah, you describe it. I can't do it.
Okay. While Andrea is not going to listen, it's bar of soap with some possible pubic hair or body hair on it. And the body hair is shaped in the title, stump work.
It's so horrible.
And it's resting at the end of a bath, and it's very lathery at the end, and it's still wet.
And it's
so,
like,
it's not something you want to be looking at that much.
And like,
now.
Look, I'm not one of those people who's like super over the top squeamish about hair. Like, if someone finds a hair in their food, I'm not going to go and like scream or freak out about it or whatever. I'm like, it's only hair. But like, I don't know, it's just something about the, just how horrible this is. I really hate it. I hate it so much.
To put it on your album cover.
Fucking like, album yeah, cover. Like, you know, following up a very, very successful record. I'm just like, why did you? I know why they did it.
It's not even the most gross thing, body thing I've seen this week. And I don't know if you see, if you follow Brezzy or seen Brezzy's Instagram lately. No. But he put up a video of some wax that he got taken out of his ear. It's absolutely disgusting.
You know,
he had COVID recently, and
I'm more into that than I am the hair.
Right, he got his ears checked out, and what looked like a prawn-sized piece of wax got pulled out. It was absolutely disgusting.
Ooh, I don't.
And I couldn't stop thinking about it for about 5 hours.
I don't mind that.
I was like, this is gross.
I'm going to be honest, I don't mind that. You know, some people watch like pimple popping things, which I find disgusting. I feel like wax, I mean, it would just, earwax would be like, I just need one video to be recommended to me on my feed and I'd click it once and then I'm gone. I'm down the rabbit hole. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to seek it out. I'm currently off social media, so I'm safe.
I don't think you'd be able to forget it.
Yeah.
It was a bit like watching that scene in Alien.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Like
something that's been extracted from his body that isn't quite, it isn't quite
not
human.
Not quite dead, not quite alive. Well, look, our thoughts thoughts and prayers to Brezzy and his ear. Hope you recover.
Yeah.
I hope you recover, Niall.
Speaking of, I was doing a workout in the house this morning and doing a plank right on in the living room, and you know, you do your planks and whatever, and look to my right, and within 30 seconds, the cat in the house had dropped a very small dead mouse beside me.
Oh, God, no. thank you, cat.
Where did that come from?
Very nice gift. Thank you so much. But, oh, that's so upsetting. Oh, the poor little
It was very close to me. I was like, oh, fuck.
And was it fully dead?
Okay.
Well, that's something. Yeah, at least it wasn't like writhing around.
Yeah. Not the first time she's done
My cat is not an outdoor cat because we live on like the fourth floor of an apartment block. So thankfully, sometimes I'll open my bedroom
door. Did your cat get down?
To like a spider.
Does your cat go downstairs?
No, she can't go outside.
No.
We've a very large balcony outside. So she goes out there and talks shit to the birds as they're flying past and gives it loads. And then if one of them lands on the balcony, she gets real quiet. Then actually, but sometimes I'll open my bedroom door to like just a dead spider, and I'll be like, and then she's like sitting there looking up at me like, thank you, that's very nice of you, thank you. Thankfully no dead. A friend of my old housemate went home for a weekend a few years ago, I just remember this now, and his cat Bobby brought him a dead vole, you know, one of those kind of like little creatures that like live under the ground, really cute little faces, and they like dig up all your stuff. Yeah, just brought it to the house as like a extra special present for him being home for the weekend. Very upsetting.
I'm still getting used to that. Still getting used to the cat
presents. Yes,
dogs don't do that at all.
No,
It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Anyway, from furry rodents to
new beginnings,
tree loving women. this is a my next choice is actually an album as well, because you hear an album, you're like, yeah. You hear an act, you're like, I would just listen to an album's worth of those. Well, it turns out you can listen to two albums worth of this band, because they're called Automatic. Their new album came out last Friday on Stone's Throw. And this is a song from the second album. It's called Excess. The album is called Excess. And this song is called New Beginning.
We'll be right back.
So that is Automatic. Song is called New Beginning, and their album is Excess. So a couple of months ago, I made a kind of a post-punk new wave kind of dance playlist for the Patreon listeners and supporters, and I think I put one of their songs on it. I think I must have put a few, because I had the likes of Skinner in there, as well as the stuff like ESG, Liquid, Conk, Maximum Joy, The Units, Bus Tetras. So there was a lot of that kind of music that is, it falls between a Venn diagram between like dance electronic and post-punk and new wave. So these are the latest kind of trio to do that kind of thing, and they do it across the whole album. They are Izzy, Lola, and Hallie, three cool names, from LA, and just a really lovely album of that kind of vibe. It's got a bit of Pop Smart, it's got a bit of the post-punk thing, it's new wavy, it's got it's just really lovely production as well. I think that's the other thing, a lot of that kind of post-punk new wave music is it's very old, and so it's interesting to hear when someone does it with modern production techniques and how they do it. So I really like this a lot. It's great. They're a band called Automatic, not the easiest, certainly easy enough to find on Spotify and streaming services, but not if you're Googling them, it's not the best. Automatic _ band, I think, is their thing on social, so you can find them there. Excess is the name of the album anyway. Stone's Throw, very reliable label, of course, mostly releasing hip-hop stuff, so a great thing to delve into. They say their second album, Rise to the Imaginary Edge, where the 70s underground meets the corporate culture of the 80s. That fleeting moment when that was once what was once cool turned and became mainstream, all for the sake of consumerism. So that's some of the reason why apparently they made this album. So corporate culture and extravagance. I think you see that in the videos and stuff like that as well. So you can check that out. They're very cool art design for their record as well, and some of their press photos. So yeah, really into that.
Cool. Yeah, they sound right up my street. I'm going to listen to that album today. Okay, so my next choice is Anamika, new song Twin. First time hearing from Anna since early 2020, I believe. So this is a truly, truly wonderful song. I absolutely love this. This is Twin.
Faint memories, corrugated hindsight, same few words and same thing repeating. Plastic flowers cast across the tarmac, dogs in the ditches, dull eyes from the fumes.
Lost in the music there. Didn't even realize you'd come back. Anamika, Twin, like I said, first time we've heard from her since the album Idle Mind back in 2020. That was a big early lockdown album for me. I think her label very kindly sent me the LP of it, and I wasn't familiar with it before, and I put it on and just listened to it for days and days and days. I absolutely loved that record. Haven't returned to, there's something about the music that I listened to in like the first lockdown that I found it hard to kind of return to. So I haven't found myself returning to that album. But then when I saw that she'd released this, I was like, yeah, I'm ready again now to get back into anime, because she's playing Another Love Story in August, I believe. And yeah, I just think she's such a talent. She's got such a beautiful voice. She's a wonderful way of kind of structuring songs. Like there's a great movement in this song. There's a great sense of movement. And a great kind of inventiveness in the chords she uses. And yeah, it's just, it's really, really lovely. Like you just, you do find yourself just becoming completely lost in it. And it's, I think it's about 5 minutes long. Is that right? 5 minutes, 18. But like you don't feel that go by. You kind of get to the end of it and you're like, oh, more please. So I actually don't have information about an upcoming album in front of me. I don't know if you know what the story is with that.
Did I say anything about that one? I think it's, no, I don't think there's anything announced yet, but there certainly is a band playing on this, including Rosie Plain from This Is The Kit. Matthew Jacobson, you may have seen a lot on Behind a Drum Kit on Irish gigs. Ryan Harrigan, of course, on synths and piano. He plays a lot of sax as well with Kojak and Rachel Lavelle. Mm. And Corvinus Loney on strings. I don't think there's anything being announced yet in terms of an album or anything like that, but I would presume later in the year.
When those leaves start turning brown, I'm just saying, Anna. Seems like a good time for it. What I like about it, she says the song touches on memory versus reality and the romanticization of certain memories. And I like that it's a song about that, but it's also a song that you could imagine somebody would listen to while kind of carrying out that act. Like it's quite a romantically produced song. It's a very singular vibe, very cozy, very warm. Very autumnal, I'll say it. And yeah, just beautiful. I think her voice sounds wonderful. The lyrics are fantastic. And yeah, I love this. And I did go back and listen to Idle Mind again. And I was ready for it, which is really nice. And yeah, it's a wonderful album. I really, really like her.
Lovely. Lovely. Well, another album from me then, because that was seemed to be the vibe this month. Because there's no point just picking. I have picked this band before. But
yeah, they're becoming little mainstays on the podcast. I quite like it.
Yeah, I don't know how this happened, but Robocobra Quartet, thanks a million. Your album, Living Isn't Easy, is lovely.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play
it
a song.
Very good.
Some of a bit of a 9-minute song from them called Chromosude. And then we come back.
Shit flat. Got keys. Got out. Shit house. 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 Shit flat. Got keys. Got out.
So Chromosude is a 9-minute track from the album Living Ain't Easy, chiefly concerned with the Irish housing crisis. That line there is shit house, shit flat, got keys, got out. And they're a Belfast post-punk jazzy experimental band. Living Isn't Easy is their second album, I want to say. Am I right there? Am I saying that correctly? I believe it is maybe the third, actually. Been around for a while, since 2016, 2014. But yeah, two albums. That's the third album, sorry. So Living Isn't Easy. We previously played the song Wellness, which takes those lyrics, their entire lyrics from a Sunday Times article about wellness influencers, which is very, very funny.
And then there was a little remix with yourself that they put on was it their TikTok or their Instagram or something? It was very, very funny.
Yeah, I think
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I must be that again.
That was great.
Where they put my words over the song. Yeah. Can I wonder if I can find it here and really close the loop on this experience completely.
Guys, I'm leaving it open. I am available to be sampled. That's all I'm saying.
I was saying that one of their new tunes could actually be you could sample that and make a good rappy out of it.
Oh,
so
well.
You know, the song, what song was it? Kilmore Close, I believe, maybe. Really, really lovely, and like it's that jazzy experimental stuff. Now they do. I've seen even Chris Ryan, who's essentially the visible member, the leader of this group, saying when the album came out, it was like, hey, we're going to rule Spreche Gesang,
yeah,
whatever you say that word, forever, like the spoken word, the German word for spoken word delivery, which, you know, dry cleaning technically is, and a lot of bands at the moment technically are, but like, it's not really like that for me. It's not like, here's some playing guitar, and they do lots of stuff. I think Robocop recorded, it's quite imaginative, it's quite the arrangements are quite interesting and expansive, and there's lots going on there, and there's they do wig out a fair bit as well.
I think there's a great clarity to the way they use the Spreche Gesang thing. Like, it's not kind of very like a lot of that current spoken word post-punk stuff, which this band aren't, but a lot of that is very like, the lyrics tend to be a bit obscure, and I quite like how upfront this band are about what it is that they're saying, what it is that they're writing music about.
True. There's something, yeah, they write about actual topics,
yeah, there's something really refreshing about things, that. I mean, I love Dry Cleaning, and I love them for their obscurity in their lyrics, but this is a nice kind of another side to that spectrum, because we don't need more bands who are doing what Dry Cleaning are doing, or doing what that sort of, I mean, we were starting to get a bit saturated, but it's great to hear like a jazz band sound like this, like a kind of a, you know, it's hard to put your finger on what it is that they're doing, and I think that that's what is exciting about them. And they have a great sense of humor as well, which I really, really like in a band. But it's not, they're not only that, that's not all it is, that it's backed up by serious playing talent. I think they're great. They're just such a breath of fresh air. I think they're great.
Yeah, here is that
the clip
to close the loop on this all. This is me on the podcast in song form over their song Wellness, reading out the lyrics to Wellness and the article that inspired it. The first thing I do is scrape my tongue using a copper tongue scraper to get rid of the toxins that accumulate over. I give my body, which has 7.5% fat, just enough food for energy. Eating is for fuel. I'm strict as hell 90% of the time, but relax the other 10% of the time. Once a week, I eat chips and have a drink, usually a Negroni, which is the most ketogenic. On Saturdays, I follow my hyperbaric oxygen therapy with a magnesium and amino acid.
Well, there you go. That's all of it now. That's all of it now. We can close that. That's Robocop Quartet. Album's very good. Living Isn't Easy. Third album from them. Belfast band. Yes, thank you. Andrea Cleary, your next choice.
My next choice is someone I was hanging out with this morning. Hello. Little rock star lifestyle here. I'm going to do a little plug, actually. I did a bonus episode of my favorite album, an emergency broadcast episode of my favorite album with Alva Reddy this morning, because herself, Maria Kelly, and May Kay are putting on an Avril Lavigne night tomorrow night, celebrating 20 years of Let Go by Avril Lavigne, the greatest album ever made. So got Alva in this morning and we just had a little gush about it. But regardless of whether or not I was seeing her this morning, her new track, A Mess, is definitely one of the best tracks I've heard this month, if not the best. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant song. Great music video as well. Someone else who has a great kind of sense of humor, especially in kind of music videos and stuff. But yeah, this is A Mess by Alva Reddy. It sounds like this.
It's already with A Mess. So is this, you can give us the inside scoop, is this from a new album? She's based in London now, yeah. Right? She's She's in a new chapter of her
career. Yeah. So the album is finished. I don't know when it's going to come out, but I think it's maybe later in the year. But I'm open to correction on that. Yeah, I just think this is great. I think Alva is a great melody writer. Kind of first and foremost, she's a great ear for melodies. And then when you pair that with the kind of distorted, the grungy guitar, and in this track, the kind of grungy vocals as well. I just think it's lovely. Yeah, it's got great pace, great lyrics. It kind of works as a pop song as well. Like you can dance along to it. It reminded me a bit of like a kind of a Pressure to Party on Julia Jacklin's Crushing album. Yeah, I just think it's really great. I've been playing it a lot this month. So yeah, since it came out.
Yeah, definitely hear Julia Jacklin influence there. And
nothing wrong with that. We don't mind that here.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
Well, we're in the middle of festival season, and I'm looking ahead to some of the festivals that I'm actually DJing at. Playing Another Side on July 9th, and All Together Now on the Sunday, I believe, closing one of the stages. So that'll be interesting. And then
that'll
doing their Lumo on the Saturday. So basically, I'm trying to make some more concerted effort to devote maybe an hour of, not each day, but most days, to doing some DJ practice. And I think a part of that, I've been listening to this song this week and kind of going, this
practicing,
might find its way
pressing a button
somewhere.
On the laptop, is it, Niall? What? Sorry.
Yeah, pressing the button on the desk, excuse me.
That's all them and DJs do these days, buttons. Just pressing a button on a laptop.
So that's all we do. We press buttons. You're pressing buttons when you're writing articles.
Yeah,
you're pressing
it.
Buttons when you're playing tunes. Sure,
it's all the one, really.
So this is a Sworn Virgins remix of Hot Chips Down, which you might hear at some time this summer if you come and see me play. That's a big festival-y banger from Sworn Virgins is the remix. Hot Chip Down is the original. Hot Chip have a new album out in August as well, called Freak Out Release. And that track is one that released a few months ago. It features a sample of Universal Togetherness. And that's the sample you can hear there as well. And Sworn Virgins are a duo. The singer is from the band Warm Doucher, called Clams Baker. I presume that's a made-up name. It should be. If it isn't, he should make that name up. If it isn't, it doesn't sound like a real name at all, does it? Sounds like something you might see in the game Leisure Suit Larry or something. Clams Baker.
I understood anyway, some of what
I don't
you
know
just
who
said.
There is. That's fine. Somebody will understand me. This weird game I used to have on
what's
PC
it called?
Years ago.
Leisure Centre Quartet. What was it?
Leisure Suit Larry. Okay. It's like, I think it's actually a bit like, I don't think it had the full version. And I think actually the full version was pretty like explicit and probably definitely not PC in terms of pretty correct, not personal computer these days. I think the whole vibe of the game was like, you had to like basically get with women, I think.
Oh, fun. like the real life, the game.
Yeah, I think it was something pretty, now I'm just remembering that, I'm like, That's weird.
There you go.
Anyway, Clams Baker is his name. Warm Doucher is the band. Sworn Virgins is the remix. And Down is the song. And Hot Chip are the original band. So we are down to our last two choices. Yeah. Apologies for that strange diversion.
I enjoyed it.
Strange adults themed PC games of the late 1980s, maybe? Whoa. Okay, then.
You can bring your kids back into the room. Yes. Okay. So my last choice is a song from 2021. So yeah, it took me a while to get around to this album. I was out on my my balcony yesterday doing some gardening, repotting some plants. So obviously I put on Courtney Barnett, Avant Gardener, which is the song I always put on when I'm gardening for obvious reasons. And I just sort of let the Spotify play through. And it started playing her new album from last year, her 2021 album, which I don't know why I never got around to listening to it. It's called Things Take Time, Take Time. And the first song on it was a single as well. It's called Ray Street. And I had to stop what I was doing because I just thought the song was so good. And I listened to it probably about three or four times in a row after that. It's yeah, it's one of the best songs I've heard in a while. And yeah, I just wanted to bring it to people's attention in case, like me, you missed out on this album. I think it came out and kind of like one of my pals was saying, I sent it to him and he was saying that I think it came out like in winter time. And to me, Courtney Barnett is like a more of a like languid summer sort of thing, he was saying. So people might have missed out on it. But yeah, this is called Ray Street by Courtney Barnett.
Don't feel so bad, Andrea, but maybe not catching up on Courtney Barnett so as soon as it came out. Things take time, they take time. That's what the name of the album is. So, take time. Yeah, I saw her appear at on the Glassdoor cover. I was like, things take time. Yeah, I hadn't thought about Courtney Barnett for a while. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah, I haven't seen the Glastonbury set yet, but I will definitely... definitely kind of go and root it out. Yeah, I was just really floored by this song. I was just like, oh, it was just really nice to hear her again and hear that she's still making great music. And yeah, I'm a really big fan of hers. And I listened to the whole album then yesterday, like twice all the way through. And it's great. It's really, really great. I really like it. I've been just sending it to everyone being like, do you know Courtney Barnett? Just about, you know, like,
you heard this, bro?
have you ever heard this before? You know this chick? Yeah, so that's my kind of my nod to something that is old but that I've discovered this month and will be playing quite a lot this year, I imagine.
Cool. Speaking of Glastonbury, actually, one thing I didn't mention, and the one time I was there, the thing I overheard somebody say that I think about every time I was watching, especially over the weekend when I was watching the way that people pronounce Glastonbury. So
I'm Glastonbury.
Yeah, when we're walking through the fields, like the campsite, and hearing these two English people have conversations, like, yeah, see, the Americans say it like the fruit, and we say it like the cheese. So, because all the Americans always say Glastonbury, and then the English like Glastonbury. So it just
the fruit and the cheese. That's brilliant. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, it stuck with me ever since I went, like, whatever that was, like 10, 12 years ago or something like that.
I say Glastonbury, yeah.
Glastonbury, but yeah, but I feel like that's right. The English said a bit more like close, like Glastonbury.
Glastonbury. Glastonbury. Well, look, the English say all sorts of things. There was a bit of that. I think Billie Eilish said Glastonbury. There was a good bit of Glastonbury.
I just wondered, like, did the American performers especially, did they ever just go, hold on, we're all saying it wrong because everyone else here says it differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
yeah, just, but I mean, just, saying it in that way might be hard for Americans to kind of wrap their mouths around. Yeah. You know, like, it's, yeah, we're a bit closer. But like English place names, when you go over and you're like, oh, it's like, I can't think of an example right now, but they try and trick you. It's to tell that you're not from there, because you'll,
I'm going to give you a moment to think about that.
Like Saint, like if it's like Saint Thomas's, they'll be like Saint Thomas's, and it has to be like Saint Thomas's. Because if you say the word saint, even though it's spelled out, they're like, oh, you're not from these parts. Like, no, I'm not.
It's like when you go to Cork and you accidentally call the Collins venue Cocklands, and people are like, you're not from Cork. I was like, you
know,
oh, that
really? Okay, that's good to know. That's definitely good to know.
Yeah, Collins, not Cocklands.
Okay, noted. Do we have any of that in Dublin?
Let's play our final song and have a think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'll have a think about that.
Okay. This is from a Dublin artist called Analia. Now, every week I do I listen to, big part of my self-appointed 909 job is that I listen to like hundreds of songs every week. And at irish@909.com is the place for Irish artists to send new music to me. So I listen to absolutely everything that gets sent in, that guaranteed. And this was one of the discoveries I included in the weekly new Irish tracks to check out this week. Great new Irish tracks you should hear this week. Analia, song's called I Wonder. Let's play a bit of it now.
Took out my pains while I thought of you. Use yellows and blues, but I cannot choose the colors behind the eyes you hide from me.
So that's Analia, song's called I Wonder, just a new artist discovery, has a few tracks out over the last year and a half. That's the latest single. I think it's really lovely, and I guess it kind of closing the loop again. Little bit Julie Jacklin kind of vibe there as well. Doesn't have a lot of listeners, so get on her. That's singer-songwriter, indie artist from Dublin, Analia. You can check that out. I added that to a load of playlists recently, just really like what she's doing, and I think you might too. And speaking of place names,
do you have one? I don't have one.
Well, Dunleary would be pretty hard to pronounce for most people if you've never heard it before. Dunleary Street.
Dollier Street, I thought it was for years when I just saw it on maps. Like, yeah, Dollier Street. Yeah, Dollier Street, I think is the best one. That's perfect. Yeah,
that'll do. That'll do now.
Yeah, that's where I get the bus home.
Very good.
Dollier
Very good.
Street. So if you're one of my stalkers, add that to your list of ways to find me.
Sorry, I said Analia Hamilton there. I think it's Sheridan. Analia Sheridan is her Instagram handle. So check it out. Yeah,
perfect.
Link tree Analia. There you go.
Great. Do you have any other businesses this month?
I mean, I tell you, there is a great film that I'd like to recommend if you have not seen it. I have a movie subscription and I've been really enjoying having that. And I wouldn't watch everything. I wouldn't watch it too regularly, but it's really nice to be able to watch just really good art house films. And The Worst Person in the World is one of the best films I've seen this year. It's a drama, comedy, all sorts. It's a Norwegian film. Joachim Trier is the director. I found it very moving, and one of those films is really hard to describe because it does have a discernible plot. It's about relationships, but there's a whole load of nuance there. There's a whole load of it's about meeting people at different points in your lives and you know, getting together and talking about the future and how sometimes those sliding door situations don't seem to happen, and they do sometimes, and you know, everyone being in a different position in their own lives. And I found it very moving, actually. Very, very moving. Mm. Really interesting.
I've seen the first third of it and fell asleep and keep meaning to go and like watch it again and finish it. But that's not a slight on the film. I was just very tired when I put it on. But yeah, keep meaning to go back and watch it, because like even just the bit that I saw had really great performances, like from everybody. The central performance is excellent, but just everybody that's in it is really good.
It's really good. And
might watch that at the weekend.
Very hard to make a film like that, which, you know, is a lot about feeling and about mood and about what it leaves you with, and they're very small ideas in a way. But I really, really love that one, so definitely wanted to shout that out. The other thing I watched in terms of TV was I started watching this last night because I read an article about it called Couples Therapy. Literally, a reality TV show where couples go to therapy, and it's pretty fascinating, I have to say. So definitely very intimate, and but if you ever wonder what happens behind closed doors at therapy sessions, this is literally a way to have a look at.
Wow.
It's very, very interesting. And it's not sensationalized, I don't think, in the way that like other reality TV shows. It's not a crass one. It's trying to, it's a bit more highbrow maybe, but really interesting. Yeah. Other than that, I don't think I've been watching anything other than Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I enjoyed for what it was. That was it.
I have a book recommendation, The Sea Women by Chloe Timms. I think my review of it will be out this Sunday in the Business Post. It is absolutely wonderful. The Handmaid's Tale with mermaids is basically the top line. It's about an island upon which there is a very small population who are stopped from kind of leaving the island. It's somewhere in kind of the Irish Sea or off the coast of England. It's not very clear. There's a priest at the center of it all, and basically the women on the island are kept away from the sea because of the sea women who reside in there, and the sea is a corrupting force for women on the island. So if there's any sort of like, you know, sin or anything, it's due to the sea women, and it's due to the corruption of the sea on the women. But also the women in that other way kind of get blamed for like if there's a storm or if something happens to the livestock or whatever. It's like, oh, well, obviously a woman on the island has been sinning. And then it kind of turns into this kind of like witch hunt situation. It's absolutely brilliant. It's such a like original like take on that sort of like that style of dystopia. Like it does have that sort of very obviously very prescient thematic material in terms of women and autonomy, and certainly like religious influence on women's bodies, but also it does have that sort of that mermaidy thing, almost like The Shape of Water sort of thing. It's really, really great. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's one of the best books I've read this year. I really, really enjoyed it. And then what are my other two recommend? Two more. Oh yeah, I haven't finished it yet. I have two episodes left. It's only short. I think it's only 7 or 8 episodes. The Midwich Cuckoos, which is series based on a science fiction novel from the 50s, I believe, which is about an English village in which every woman of like childbearing age becomes pregnant overnight, and it kind of follows on from that idea. So everyone's pregnant and they have the kids. And the kids are very scary. And it's Midwich Cuckoos because cuckoos, they don't build their own nests for their young. They lay their eggs in other birds' nests and trick the other birds into thinking that it's their egg. So it's very clever. I've never read the novel. I think I will read the novel after watching it. But who's in it? What's her name from Line of Duty? You haven't watched Line of Duty, have you?
I'm vaguely familiar with seeing Gogglebox, basically.
Yeah.
I've never watched it, though.
I can't remember her name. She plays Keely Hawes.
Oh, yeah.
H-A-W-E-S. She's in it. She plays the child psychologist in it. And yeah, it's got really, really good casts, really good performances. It's well produced. It's not like a huge, huge budget, but I think that adds to its charm, and very visually engaging show. So yeah, we've 2 episodes of it left, but we've been really enjoying it. And then the other thing I'm enjoying, my last thing, is an audiobook, which is Demon Voices by Philip Pullman, Essays on Storytelling. And Philip Pullman is one of, if not my favorite author, author of the His Dark Materials trilogy and the Book of Dust trilogy. I'm also listening to The Secret Commonwealth as well, which I read when it came out, but I need a book that is familiar to me to like fall asleep to. So I've been listening to that while I'm going to sleep. But Demon Voices is, yeah, so essays on storytelling, kind of annotated ones that he might have written in like the 90s, and then after, like, he'll read out the essay and then kind of make any changes or whatever. But for anyone out there who does certainly creative writing, certainly fiction writing, but I think writing of any kind, it's well worth a read. There's some very practical tips on story structure and storytelling, but also kind of broader things about like what is the responsibility of the fiction writer, or what is the responsibility of writers in general, and about like protecting language and but while also making sure that, you know, we're engaged with how it evolves. So yeah, if you're at all interested in fiction writing or in the English language, I would highly recommend it. I got it on Audible because I forgot I had an Audible subscription, and I have, like, you know, the way you get free credit every month, I've got like 8 credits, and I've like cancelled my subscription, but now I have like 8 credits to use up. So if anyone has any audiobook recommendations, do let me know. I got the complete Sherlock Holmes as well for when I'm finished The Secret Commonwealth, I can fall asleep listening to Sherlock Holmes. And but yeah, if anyone has any audiobook recommendations, I'm here for them.
Yeah, I've kind of got off the audiobooks recently. I do have an Audible subscription. It's the only Amazon thing I have, because I was trying to get away from them. But it's kind of like just always I end up using it every now and again, but only really to like put on as a relaxing thing. Yeah. Or really active.
Well, if anyone out there wants to get away from Amazon and still wants to listen to audiobooks, you can download the app Libby, Libby, and you can, if you have a library card, if you're a member of your local library, it's so easy. You literally just put in your library card number, and if you don't know where your library card is, you can get it from the library website. It's very easy. You put it in and you have access to like hundreds, thousands of audiobooks, and like, you know, good ones. And if they don't have one, you can request it and they'll get it for you, and you're supporting your local library. So
lovely. I think I actually did try Libby, to do that. I must try it again. It didn't work for me.
Yeah. So and you can also get ebooks on it. You can so the only thing about the ebooks is if you use a Kindle, which I do, you can't read them on the Kindle, but you can read them on your phone. So if like I do read ebooks on my phone sometimes if I'm out and about and if I've forgotten my Kindle. But if you have an e-reader like a Kobo or something that isn't Amazon, you can get it on your e-reader, which is fantastic. And yeah, you can get the Sunday papers, you can get like you can get the New Yorker on it, you can get like the London Review of Books, you can get all your magazines, like it's free, like the library, it never ceases to amaze me what your local library can do.
I mean, why not? Why not shout out the Yale library again?
Shout out the library. Yeah.
You could never not give saying how great it is. So
I
was only thinking this morning, really I need to go back. I haven't read anything. I've just been reading New Yorkers as usual.
Yeah.
So I've been.
Well,
I've
if you wanted to read your New Yorker on a device, like if you have an iPad or something, and if anyone out there is like, you know, would like to read the New Yorker and doesn't want to pay for the subscription or can't afford the subscription, you can read it for free through your library. So
yes, and we're there again. Thank you very much for the library have sent you a check in the post, and
I would work for free for the library. If the library wants to get in touch with me and have me do comms for them, I will do that. More than happy to. I just love the library.
I'm here for you.
We here for you. That's all my recommendations. We here for you.
That's a Succession reference.
It is.
lovely. Okay. All right. We'll be back next week. Right. See you in July.
Patreon.com/909. We never plugged it.
We did.
Did we? Okay. We did, well, once
no
again,
harm doing it again. Thank you. Andrea.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.